Well, it's time for the annual Bob Enyart Live Internet Telethon. Help keep Bob Enyart Live on the internet for another year. Help keep Bob's message going out to a worldwide audience, unconstrained by the traditional bounds of the broadcast media. If you like the teaching, if you like the resources, if you believe that this ministry is valuable and necessary in a lost and dying world, please go to the KGov store, sign up for the monthly Bible study, buy some products, arm yourself with some of the best Bible teaching available on the market today. Keep Bob Enyart's message going out to a worldwide audience on the internet for another year.
One warning is truth of the head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob Enyart Live.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney, official administrator of the Bob Enyart Telethon. I want to thank everybody, first of all. I think we're over $5,000.
We are. The goal is $25,000.
Well, so we're not even a quarter of the way home?
No.
Least, what's my math
on fifth.
That? A fifth, even.
20%. But over 20%, but we're getting there.
We're praising the Lord, for the folks.
Yeah.
And so I want to piggyback on Tom from Michigan, who said your show was worth at least a dollar a day. Remember that? And he asked folks to pony up a $260 donation to cover, their daily intake. Mm-hmm. And I feel obligated to do the same. I'm issuing a $260 challenge, a dollar a day for Bob Enyart Live.
Wow.
If somebody else... we'll call up. You can be on the air or not. If you'll match it, I'll do it. If you don't match it, I'm walking with
Doug,
my check.
How could you offer to donate? You're on the show. You're a part of the show.
I thought I had to pay a dollar a day to be on the show. It would be worth it to me.
This is not dollar holler radio. It's not. You need to come to the table with some substance.
Okay. Well, I have plenty
of
that.
Or at least shtick.
No, one or the other. I have substance.
It's not a dollar a holler. So...
but $260.
So you're saying you will give.
If you think the show is worth a dollar a day, and I do, I think it's worth a lot more than that, but I don't have all that much. So I'm willing to go a dollar a day in honor of Tom from Michigan, who gave me this idea. So I'm asking for someone in the audience during the broadcast today, which only gives us 27 and a half minutes.
We're at $5,200.
$5,200. So we could get up into the... well, that could bring us close to 6,000. I'd like to see us go over 6,000 today. If someone can call in with a $810 donation, just straight up, that
would
get
put us over 6,000.
We'd like to see that happen.
800-8-N-YARDS.
Yes.
800-836-9278.
Yes.
We
got to
do news. Otherwise,
absolutely.
What's the sense of listening to a talk show?
We're not going to beat the telethon to death. I'm not sure where to start, though, Bob.
We could beat a criminal to death.
Well, then
let's start with a murderer.
Let's start with the
Aurora. The telethon.
Let's just start with the Aurora Theater shooter.
The mass murderer.
So he went into court yesterday, apparently. Yesterday, I think. Yes. Mm. And his lawyer said he was not ready to plea. And so the judge has entered a not guilty plea on his behalf.
Yeah. This
struck me as odd.
Well, it's reminiscent of William Blackstone.
Blackstone.
Doug, and it's wrong. Conservative Christians have somehow been seduced into thinking that William Blackstone, he wrote those commentaries on the laws of England.
Blackstone's commentary on the law?
Yeah.
Yes.
In five volumes, as you get them today, published.
Five volumes?
Yeah. And I've read through chunks of them and repeatedly would come across things that are utterly repugnant to biblical morality.
Mm.
For example, he says, if somebody commits a crime, they commit a murder, whatever, they come to court, they should not confess. They should plead not guilty. Blackstone was an apologist for the state of affairs in England in his day.
Mm.
That's what he was.
Yeah.
Sort of like Josephus was an apologist for the Roman Empire and the Jews' interaction with Rome.
Yeah.
And so he said things like, God says the king is not above the law.
Yeah.
Well, Blackstone said, hey, the fact that we've outlawed jousting to the death, he said, that's a good thing that we ban that. But the law said if the king wants to be entertained and see a joust, well, then you go ahead and do it. And Blackstone defended even that.
Wow.
When the Bible is the first time in human history where we read that the king is not above the law.
That's right.
The law applies to the king. That's in the writings of Moses in Deuteronomy.
Yeah.
And so for Blackstone to completely ignore biblical justice and to defend the status quo in England, he doesn't deserve the accolades that people like David Barton and many others who sort of idolize our founding fathers and gloss over the corruption. Blackstone doesn't deserve to be idolized in that way.
Well, I've got Blackstone's volume two here, Commentaries on the Rules of England. It's thicker than
I've got volume
three. It's
thicker
than Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy together. And this is just volume two.
Yeah.
This must have been a lawyer.
Yeah, so plenty of problems. We cover these types of issues in our God's Criminal Justice System seminar.
Yeah.
And that's available from our store, kgov.com. Click on the store. Go to the Department of Government.
Yes, get that.
Our government department. And you could download it immediately, God's Criminal Justice System seminar, or we'll ship it to you on a CD.
Well, and I'm willing to send a free copy to Craig Silverman. I have a quote from Craig Silverman.
Uh-oh.
He's a former deputy district attorney for Denver.
Yeah.
He said, in regards to this Aurora Theater massacre, the judge gave a not guilty plea.
Yeah.
He says, Silverman says, delay is the natural ally of any death penalty defendant.
Mm.
The longer the case drags out, the longer the client is assured to stay alive.
Well, you know what, Doug?
That's Craig Silverman.
Yeah, and it's
lawyer.
True, right?
Well, that's true. I can't.
God says that you need to execute the punishment of a crime speedily.
Mm.
Otherwise, it's not a deterrent.
Right.
And, you know, we have a speedy trial right here in this country, which is, you know, just the very definition of it. You envision months and months of delay.
Yes.
And that's if they keep your speedy trial right. Uh-huh. Well, at the federal courts, the speedy trial right is not the accused. It's the government's right. Because the people deserve speedy justice.
Yeah, yeah.
And, Doug, when this crime happened, the day it happened, the Aurora massacre, Will Duffy and I did a story on America's murder epidemic, causes and solutions. And we quoted from Bierce. You remember Ambrose Bierce?
Ambrose Bierce, the devil's
dictionary.
The devil's dictionary.
Yeah, could I give you a couple definitions?
Please help
me. He's a satirist.
He's a satirist.
He's gone.
19th century.
Long time ago. He's gone. But he defined, here's rope.
Rope.
Rope, an obsolescent appliance for reminding assassins that they too are mortal.
Oh, I like that.
It is put about the neck and remains in place one's whole life long. And I like tree also.
Good.
Tree.
Tree?
A tall vegetable intended to serve as a penal apparatus.
Oh, I like that.
Though through a miscarriage of justice, most trees bear only a negligible fruit or none at all. When naturally fruited, the tree is a beneficent agency of civilization and an important factor in public morals.
Wow. And Bierce was an atheist, right?
I believe that he was.
You don't necessarily have to be a Bible-thumping Christian to understand some fundamental principles of
justice.
Yeah,
because God put common sense in us. He gave us a conscience.
Well, wait.
Yeah.
Let's refer back to Craig Silverman, and I'm going to try to refute that.
He's a lawyer, Silverman?
He's a lawyer.
Yeah.
I just want to say, Craig, delay is not the natural ally of a death penalty defendant, because justice delayed could very well hinder that death penalty defendant from repenting and maybe saving his eternal soul.
What a good point.
Craig Silverman
doesn't
care.
Doug, at a deeper level.
Yeah, much.
You know, they do surveys on everything, right? And there was a survey on what percentage of convicted murderers, what percentage of criminals convicted of a capital crime would repent if the punishment was executed swiftly?
There was a survey?
It's in the book of Luke.
Oh,
chapter
yes.
23.
That's right.
And it's 50%.
50%?
I mean, fully half.
That's right.
Of those being executed, repented as they're being put to death.
And you're referring to the two criminals on the crosses next to Jesus at Calvary.
Yeah. So
very good.
So he's an attorney.
Yes.
Silverman. You know how Bierce, his definition for a lawyer?
Yes. Mr. Silverman, listen up.
One skilled in circumvention of the law.
Ooh, that's very appropriate.
Yeah, it's so appropriate.
Now, speaking of surveys, now this isn't a survey, but this is a study. There's the National Institutes of Health has awarded $1.5 million to study, well, to study the question of why 3/4 of lesbians are obese. I wasn't aware that that was an... Well, I was aware that it was a problem. Don't get me wrong.
Probably they eat too much.
Well, they say this is an
issue. And they're depressed.
I think so. They say that this is an issue of high public health significance, number one. Mm. They say that this is a potential 5-year study, and that's just for Rosie O'Donnell alone. Who knows how far it could go?
So $750,000 to figure out why lesbians are obese.
Yes.
Which might be. So if they find out that basically lesbians are depressed.
Yeah.
Basically compared, you know, people who are married live longer.
Yeah.
Close to a decade longer.
And we tend to get a little chunky, though, you know, because.
Oh, yeah.
You
when your wife is a great cook.
Good cook. And yeah, you know.
It's like a backhanded curse.
Yeah.
When your wife is a good cook.
That's right.
Yeah, there tends to be depression, drug abuse, alcoholism, yeah, rampant in the homosexual community. That's among homos and FOMOs.
FOMOs? Oh, yeah.
FOMOs, female homosexuals.
Well, wait a minute, Bob. The folks at NIH, they don't use that nomenclature, FOMOs. Mm-hmm. They call them women of minority sexual orientation. That's the new word for FOMOs.
Like bestiality, bestiality.
That would be a minority orientation.
Yeah, so maybe that's who they're talking about. Maybe they're eating dog food, and that's why. Okay. It just doesn't sit well with them.
We're going to move on from that story.
So, Doug, since we have a dictionary here, I looked at the noun for a group of homosexuals.
Collective noun for a group.
A group.
Okay.
It's the word pile.
A pile.
A pile. You know, you have a gaggle of geese,
yes,
and a school of fish. There's a pile of homosexuals.
Now, I have
San Francisco. Somebody there coined that.
They have. I have reason 673.
Yeah.
To keep your children out of the government schools.
Right.
Out in Simi Valley, California, a teacher's been accused of having an inappropriate relationship, let's say, with a male student, a female teacher. Male student. She's been placed on leave.
Male student, like 15 years old.
Sixth grade. Yeah.
This is reason number 600.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is an elementary school. I apologize. Mm. An elementary school? Okay. They don't give the child's
reason
age.
Reason number 600.
673, if I'm counting correctly.
I've got to write that down.
Now, I have a quote from a teacher in the Garden Grove School district.
Yeah.
This is Garden Grove Elementary School. Elementary school? Isn't that like up to fourth grade?
Well, sixth.
Is it sixth grade?
Well, you know, it varies.
Even so, that's pretty shocking. A teacher there in the Garden Grove School District says when all of this is done and over with, and she's talking about the hullabaloo about this whole scandal.
Yeah, a teacher sexually molesting a child.
Well, another teacher in the district says when all of this is done and over with, people will realize that we are a great school and a great community.
Reminds me of Columbine.
That's right.
We
are all Columbine.
I was incarcerated in Jefferson County when the Columbine murders occurred.
Yes, I remember.
And I remember doing daily shows.
Yeah.
From my cell phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had to record them.
Yeah.
Sort of. Well, we recorded them.
From my cell phone.
Okay, but, I just got that.
But sorry.
I just got
that. It wasn't really worth getting. But, Doug, I remember at the time saying that they're going to say, the godless culture is going to say that Columbine is the greatest of schools. It's not just a typical school.
That's right.
With this mass murder happening there and with all the warning signs that were everywhere, they're going to say it's the best. And I remember Hillary Clinton then days later saying, we are Columbine.
Yeah.
We are all Columbine. So, yeah, the more atrocious the crime, even when it's committed by a staff member, a teacher against the student, it's, you know, we're just the best school you could ever hope for.
That's right.
Reason 673 to take your kids out of
even elementary school.
Don't put prayer in the public schools. Get your kids out.
That's right.
No prayer in. It's like trying to reform a brothel.
Yeah,
you
that's
don't.
Not.
No, you take your kids out. You save people
out.
You
try to rescue people out of that.
One of the young women at Denver Bible Church just went for 2 months to Cambodia and Thailand with a team trying to rescue women who were enslaved in human trafficking.
Yes. Yes. She gave a very powerful testimony at church a couple of weeks ago.
She sure did.
It was very, very powerful.
Yeah.
Good work from Denver Bible Church. And from Bob Inyart Live, by the way. I'm still looking for someone to match my dollar a day for Bob Inyart Live. $260. You got to call in during the broadcast. You don't have to be on the air.
1-800-8-N-YARDS.
Yeah.
1-800-836-9278.
Yes.
836-9278. Or go online at KGOV.com, and you could give there also.
Yes. Or you could call in with that $810 donation and put us over $6,000 for the day. That would be great. All right. Now, I want to touch on a story. It came out last week, but I just had a chance to catch up with it. This is the story of the woman who was in an assisted living facility out in California, 87 years old, collapses in the lunchroom with a heart attack.
Oh, yeah.
One of the employees calls 911. The dispatcher says, okay, you start CPR. The ambulance is on the way, and they don't do the CPR. She says, right. I don't do that. We don't do that.
Right.
So just hearing the audio was pretty shocking for me.
Yeah,
that someone could actually watch someone collapse and not.
Yeah, so we should talk through this and the principles involved. Doug, if someone is irreversibly dying, like let's say they're in hospice and they're dying of cancer and they've been suffering for 6 weeks.
Right.
And you can't hardly feed them because their body is weeping. You pump liquids into them via an IV and it comes out of them through their pore. They can't. They're irreversibly dying. Then if their heart stops, you don't need to resuscitate them because they are dying.
Mm-hmm.
They're irreversibly dying. Now, this woman, she wasn't in hospice.
She was in a lunchroom of an assisted living facility.
Lunchroom.
And she collapsed. Well, someone called 911, so obviously it appeared to be an emergency.
Right. So she is she's in a lunchroom, and assisted living, I mean, that's pretty neat, right? It's much better. I should take that back. It's much better when it's your loved ones who are assisting you.
That would be nice.
But today, many people are afraid to ask their kids, their son or daughter, because they expect that the child would be put out and won't want to care for mom or dad.
Mm-hmm.
So mom and dad care for the child for typically 18 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
And then the child in our selfish society is put out. They just are not interested. And so mom or dad, they fall down and they break a hip and they get a life sentence. They get put in a nursing home.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
Yeah. It's
mom, that's it, dad. And then they get visited, every day for like 4 days.
Yeah.
And then every week for a month. And then every month for some
6 months.
Yeah.
And then
holidays.
Yeah.
And then they're forgotten.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a common trend.
I don't know what the family situation was prior to the incident, but the family has issued basically a blanket amnesty to the facility. And they say that, they implied that their mom had a do not resuscitate order.
Yeah. Do not resuscitate.
Yeah. Do not. Well, I don't know if they're talking about, like, if she collapses in the lunchroom. I think they might have been, if there is a do not resuscitate, maybe that's if they're in that stage you were just talking about, 6 weeks.
Well, a lot of people are one, intimidated, two, tricked into signing these DNRs.
Yeah.
And, Doug, there are people who could live, people who have lived for years of happy life after people would say, especially those in the medical community, look, they'd be better off dead.
Yeah.
And then a family member fights for the life of their loved one, and it turns out their loved one could enjoy not only months or years of a happy life, but deeper relationships with their friends and their family.
Yeah.
So it's real. Our medical community, they advocate dismembering unborn children and starving to death kids, like at Denver Children's Hospital. Dylan Walborn, 4-year-old boy, had his favorite movie. They starved him to death. It took 24 days for Dylan to die.
Right.
And they advocate these things. So, of course, they're going to come down on the side of it's better to let them die to soothe their guilty conscience.
Mm. Well, the family in this case, says that we regret that this private and most personal time has been escalated by the media.
Yeah.
So they're...
Well, Dennis Miller, did you hear what he said about this? You know Dennis Miller.
I know. I haven't heard of him. I know of Dennis Miller.
He repeated probably five times. He said, look, we have a litigious society, so this nursing home assisted living facility, they should sue the people who were complaining. He said they might as well sue those people because what business of it is theirs to give this facility? You want to talk about an upside down world.
That's bizarre.
Is Dennis Miller a conservative?
Him and Adam Carolla and Kid Rock are now conservatives. Oh. Yes.
And he what? He advocates killing unborn children. He's sexually vulgar.
Yeah.
He's right. He's a liberal.
He's
but
a liberal.
Because he mocks liberals with O'Reilly on Fox News, people think he's some kind of a conservative standard bearer.
Yeah.
Christians are confused.
Well, the whole conservative movement has just devolved into, well, I don't even know what.
Yeah.
Karl Rovian
levels
down so low.
Yeah.
So it seems like the family's more upset that this came out, and they don't seem to mind that their mom collapsed and died in the lunchroom, and nobody even tried.
They obviously preferred that to mom being resuscitated.
Apparently, my interpretation of their statement is, we're glad mom's finally dead. We can stop paying the home and divvy up her inheritance. That's kind of the way I take it.
Well, you know, that is one of the risks. One of the risks of, well, euthanasia, like in Washington and Oregon, where they've legalized doctors intentionally killing patients.
Yes, they have.
Remember the woman, and we've linked to the letter she got from her insurance company up, you know, somewhere in Portland. She has cancer. She asks her insurance company to pay for treatment.
Mm-hmm.
They turn her down and they send her a letter with five options. And one of the options is, we will cover the pill that your doctor can give you to euthanize you.
Wow. Well, that's where we are.
That's where we are.
All right.
Dr. Death, Jack the Dripper,
mm-hmm.
Kevorkian, remember him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I have a couple stories that I just don't think we can do because they're just too shocking and abhorrent.
Yeah.
But can we give some credit to Jim Daly over at Focus on the Family?
Well, if we could, that would be encouraging because normally we point out when Focus does things that are immoral.
Yes.
Which is tragically often.
Yes.
So how,
Jim Daly over at Focus on the Family has come out with several statements.
He's the president.
The president and CEO or president.
Right. When Dr. Dobson resigned,
he
took over.
Jim Daly has endorsed courtship, and he said that in regards to dating, kids, teenagers.
Courtship.
He says courtship's a better idea. He says, I concur with many of the misgivings expressed by those concerned about the dating game as it has come to be known and accepted in modern society. He says the temptations faced by dating couples must be frankly acknowledged. And he goes on to describe a courtship process that I was happy to see Jim Daly come out with this statement.
Well, that is courageous because today it's accepted without any question that for a guy and a woman to hang out together, to spend time at each other's home, to travel together, a boyfriend and girlfriend going on a cruise together.
Yeah.
And people seem to think this is acceptable. This is saying to the world that your girlfriend is a slut.
Yeah.
That's what it's saying to the world. Mm. My girlfriend is a slut. It's dishonoring God.
Mm.
And it's undermining your ability to have a good marriage afterward.
That's right.
Because if you don't honor God and his command that the marriage bed is undefiled, a woman should realize, I'm worth waiting for.
Amen.
If you're not going to honor God's design for marriage before you're married, what's going to make your spouse think you'll honor it after you're married?
Mm-hmm.
So doubt is a major factor when people don't obey God.
Mm. Now, Bob, a lot of people in the audience may not be familiar with what courtship is. And Mr. Daly's, this is a lot of stuff. Can you give us in a nutshell what would be acceptable courtship? I have three daughters. I wouldn't mind knowing myself.
Yeah. Well, the idea, well, for one, I have a friend in, I haven't seen him in years, but in Aurora, he ran an Italian restaurant.
Yeah.
Which is funny because he's from Pakistan. What does he know about sauce?
Well.
But
Tastes like curry.
Pasta fagioli. What does he know? But anyway, he, for the Iraq War, he was training Saudi Arabian soldiers.
Okay.
And he's from Pakistan, and he got a notice from his parents that he was going to get married in 4 weeks.
Oh.
And they found a wife for him.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, he was thrilled.
Yeah.
And they married, beautiful woman, beautiful kids. And this is, you know, I meet them years later.
Yeah.
And so typically you have the neatest stories. You love, you and your wife love your kids.
More than anybody else in the world.
Conceivably.
Yes.
Did you pick them out?
No.
Like you said, we'll take that one over there and we'll take this one with dark hair and brown eyes. And,
No,
you love your kids.
Yeah.
In a healthy family, and the kids love their parents.
That's true.
And their grandparents.
And we didn't pick each other.
We didn't pick each other, and the love is as deep as any love could be.
Yes.
And so this idea that you have to date, and we have dating, and we have, and this is not what Jim Daly was talking about. He wasn't talking about arranged marriage.
No.
But we have dating with a, what, 50% divorce rate or higher.
Yeah.
You have families with four kids and seven divorces among the four kids.
Yeah, unfortunately.
This is common.
Mm-hmm.
And so courtship where you don't go off by yourself, a guy and a woman, you don't do that.
Yeah. Well.
So, hey, we'll take a quick call from Connie on line one. Yes, Connie.
Speak your mind.
Hi, Rob.
Hi, what's up?
Hi, I just had to tell you, listening to your show, I stopped using my Visa credit card.
Wait, I wrote to them, Citibank. This is my mother.
Because you have
she can't hear me.
This commercial on TV.
Yeah.
The girl says, I'm going away with my boyfriend, and I'm going to use my Citi Visa card.
Citibank Visa. So, Connie, you're actually mom.
You canceled your Visa card over an immoral commercial? Is that what you're saying, Connie?
Yes. I stopped using it. I wrote to them.
Good for you.
And they responded. Let's see what happens. But I couldn't take that they were advertising.
Good for you. Mom?
I'm going away with my boyfriend.
Right. Thank you, Mom. See why, you know, Doug, my brothers and I, my sister, we turned out well.
The apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Thanks, Mom. Appreciate that. God bless you. 800-8-N-YARDS.
All right, and we're almost out of time. We're almost out of time.
No one has
taken me up on my dollar a day match for Bob and Yart Live.
Yeah.
So I'm going to warn you people out there.
What?
If you don't take me up on this during this broadcast, I'll come back and I'll turn this car around and I will keep coming back until someone agrees with me that the show is worth at least a dollar a day.
Well, thank you.
$260.
All right.
It will happen. We're going to keep trying. The telethon lasts throughout the month of March.
Yeah.
We need $25,000 to stay on the internet for another year.
For another year. Doug, Dr. Laura, back when she knew that homosexuality was wrong,
yes,
remember that?
Yeah, back in the 90s.
And she used to, and even back then, I would cringe. She would tell people, you need to date for 2 or 3 years, 4 years before you get married.
Yeah.
And what percentage of the people who took Dr. Laura's advice were fornicating before they got married? 100%.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Approximately. Within a, margin of error.
That's why we need Bob on the air, folks.
Thanks, Doug McBurney. God bless you guys out there.